Good evening and welcome.
Good evening.
Thank you for choosing to worship with us today. And we have a new guest with us, new friend with us. I'm sorry, who?
My friend Jean.
Jean?
Yes. Nice to meet you.
Welcome, Jean.
Thank you.
Hope you enjoy yourself today. You know, that's interesting how we say things, because sometimes if the Holy Spirit works on us and convicts us, it's not necessarily the most enjoyable experience, but the result is fantastic. So when I tell people I hope they enjoy themselves in church, I do mean that, but I also hope that we meet the Holy Spirit tonight. And if that makes us a little uncomfortable, that's okay, because that's how we grow, that's how we stretch, that's how we learn. That's how we become who God wants us to be, is by being formed into his likeness. So it's okay to be uncomfortable in church. Just hang in here. You'll get better. I have good news. There are no lethal levels of the Holy Spirit. So no matter how much of the Holy Spirit you get, it's not going to kill you. We won't go any further. So that's good news. Let's begin with prayer, then let's sing and celebrate Jesus. Father, thank you so much for the privilege of being together in your name. And as we're here tonight, we thank you that you have promised to be with us. And so we know that you are here. My prayer tonight is that we will experience your presence in a tangible way through our human senses, that we would hear your voice, that we would just be aware that you are right here in this room with us in any way that you choose to make yourself known to us. You are welcome here in this place. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful for all that you accomplished in your life, your suffering, your death, your resurrection. And you did it all for us. We're so grateful. Thank you. Holy Spirit, as you're here tonight, I just pray that you would show us, Father, in fresh ways, that you would open our hearts to hear and see, that you would lead us into all truth and righteousness. I thank you in Jesus' awesome name. Amen. Let's sing. So we'll start off our sharing time with my question. How many of you are loved by God? How many of you are loved by God right now, this minute?
That's right.
Okay. Just wanting to make sure you knew what you were singing, because I think we sometimes feel we're not good enough to be loved by God. But we didn't sing that. We didn't sing, I'm good enough to be loved by God. I'm good enough to be. No, we sang, it's who I am, because he's a good father. It's who he is. And because of who he is, he loves us, period. Now, that doesn't give us license to sin or to misbehave or to ignore him, but our actions don't change his love toward us. And I think it helps us to understand and to know, not just think, well, maybe, but to absolutely know that I am loved by God. Because if I am loved by God, then I have to love him. Somebody that loves me like that, how can I not love them? Well, I don't preach until a little bit later, so I'll stop. Who has something you'd like to share with us tonight, or a prayer concern you'd like us to pray about? Jeff?
So my mom went for a second surgery earlier today. Sounds like everything went well.
Good.
So not sure when she'll be coming home yet, but that sounds like it went well. And then I had an interview last week. Second
reel. So
I have another interview tomorrow.
Super. Awesome. Praise the Lord. On both counts. I'm sorry your mom had to have the second surgery, but since she did, I'm glad it came out well. I trust that she'll continue to improve. Okay. Someone else? If you know of someone who finds themselves in generational poverty, Janelle and I are working on a program that's called Getting Ahead and Just Getting By, and a Just Getting By World. And it's designed to help people get in touch with some tools and some resources to work toward getting out of the cycle of poverty and moving toward and into middle class eventually. It's a process, it's hard work. But this is a way to introduce people to the concept, begin to give them some tools to work with, and then get them involved with some other people to, over time, change their lifestyle, change their lives, and economically and socially in many ways. So if you know somebody that would benefit from that, it's a 16-week course of study, and we'll do it here at the church.
Comes with a $400 stipend for those that complete
the class. Yes, each person that comes to class gets a $25 stipend per class. It's important that they attend every class and not miss classes. But if you know people that would be interested in that, talk to Janelle, get her share phone number, or talk to me, I'll give you her share phone number, and you can have them contact her or give her name and contact information, and she can contact people if you have their permission to do that. So any questions on that? Or we don't have a start date set yet. We're at the point of giving out information and trying to gather interest from people to get a list of interested people, and then we can talk about when we can do it. We have a grant from the Community Foundation that makes this possible, and we just got it extended to the end of the year. It was supposed to be done by now a year ago, but then COVID came and messed up all of our plans. So we're thankful for the extension. And you know, if you or someone you know would benefit from that, we'd love to have them part of the class. Not everybody qualifies, but you know, most people will. So, anyone else? Right. Let's pray. Father, we celebrate the fact that you are so gracious and kind and loving toward us. And I thank you for the report that Barb is improving. We thank you that you brought her through two surgeries safely. And we believe that you will carry her through to complete healing. I pray that that process will continue to move ahead without setbacks, and that soon she will be able to come home and recuperate completely. Bless Jeff as he interviews tomorrow for a second time. And I pray that he'll find favor the school board and the decision makers that are choosing a new principal. And we just look to you for that blessing. Father, we thank you for each of us who's here tonight. And I pray that the needs we have, the concerns we have, that for whatever reason we didn't share verbally tonight, that you'll meet us at those points of need, you'll provide for us. And that you will truly let us be in touch with the incredible love that you have for us and for the people around you. We thank you in Jesus' awesome name. Amen. Let's pray our offertory prayer. As we receive today's offering, we believe you, Lord, for jobs and better jobs, raises and bonuses, benefits, and inheritance, reaps and returns, checks in the mail, debts paid off, expenses decrease, blessing and increase. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all my financial needs, that I may have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Renee, would you like to pass the message? Yeah. Anybody interested in a children's story? All right. We'll pick one. Okay, good evening. How many of you would like to have some money? Yeah, yeah. There's some bigger children here too. Only $17.
Yes,
and you're how old?
6.
And you're 6 and a half? Wow, if you had $17 and you're 6 and a half, I think you're rich. Look at that. How would you like to have money like that? See, there's all kinds of money there. Yeah. 10, a couple fives, some ones. You can use it. You can keep yourself cool with money. Using it like a fan, just like this. Did you know that? Yeah, there's other things you can do too.
That's a pretty expensive fan.
An expensive fan, yeah. It would, except it's not expensive if you can fold it up and put it back in your pocket. Then it didn't cost you anything, right? You just used it. Okay. All right. Well, it'd be nice to have money like that in your pocket. But I'm not talking about just a little bit of money like that. If you knew that there was an amazing treasure somewhere on your property, I'm talking not hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars, but maybe millions of dollars. Oh, I'm getting your attention now. You do what? You dig up your yard. Yeah. Yeah. So if you knew there was a priceless treasure on your yard, you would dig it up. You would do whatever you had to do to hunt for it until you found it, right? Right. Well, Jonah's story then might sound strange, but it's all too often true. Now, this isn't the Jonah in the Bible. This is a make-believe boy named Jonah. At least I think he's, anyway. You see, Jonah knew that there was a treasure on his father's property. His father had even given him a treasure map so he could find it. Would you like to have a treasure map like that?
Yeah.
You can take it, pass it down. Yeah, with lines on it and an X marking the spot. Yeah, so you would dig and dig and dig. You'd sell everything you had. You'd take that $17 to the hardware store and you'd buy a really good shovel and maybe a pick and whatever you could buy so that you could dig a metal detector. Yeah. Okay, or an excavator. Yeah. Okay, well, here's what happens. Jonah was excited at first, but he easily gave up. He went through a phase, through a time in his life, when he got busy with playing games and having a good time, forgetting about the treasure. Can you imagine that? There's a treasure in the backyard, you dig some and can't find it, and so you give up. Well, then there came a day when Jonah realized he really needed money, and he had good reason. Some friends of his were hurting, and he wanted to help them. They needed money, and he wanted to help them. So he began occasionally asking his father for more money. Maybe you get an allowance, or maybe you get to do some jobs around the house and earn some money, however you do it at your house. Well, that's what Jonah wanted to do. He wanted to get more money. All the while, he was failing to dig for the treasure his father had already told him would be his if he just searched for it. All he had to do was dig in the backyard, front yard, or the side yard, or somewhere, maybe even crawl under the house and dig there. Funnily, though, here's the silly part. Jonah would go to other fields and dig there for treasure, hoping to find something. Yeah, sounds like he had a case of the stupids, doesn't it?
Stupid idea.
Yeah, but the only thing he found there was counterfeit money. Well, you know what counterfeit money is? It's fake money. It's money that somebody printed in their basement or in their garage, and they tried to make it look like real money, but it's not. And if you go and you try to spend it and they catch you with it, you can go to jail for having counterfeit money. If you don't know it, you don't have to go to jail by accident. But people do this to make money. They make pretend money and pass it off like real money, and they make money that way. Okay. So he kept tiring himself out for nothing. All the while, he was ignoring the treasure map his father had given him. Jonah kept missing out. All because he didn't listen to his father. Following the treasure map and seeking the treasure his father had given him. And you know what? We do the same thing whenever we ignore God's word. Failing to follow the treasure map that God's given us in the Bible and neglecting to seek knowing him and his wisdom would be like a hidden treasure. So we want to read our Bibles. We want to listen to God because that's the real treasure in life. Because that treasure brings us salvation. The benefits to that are out of this world. It's called heaven. And that's worth a whole lot more than any treasure in your backyard or my backyard, anybody else's backyard. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you love us and that you are with us and want to be with us for eternity. Thank you for giving us your word to guide us and to lead us in life. And I pray that these children will learn to love your word and to love you. And that they'll read their Bibles, they'll study them, they'll learn to know you and your ways, what you're like, how you love, how precious and special you are. And that they'll choose to live for you every day of their lives. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know where I'd be without him. How many of you enjoy church reader boards as you're driving down the road? You may have seen one at a neighboring church. Moses is a special man. He was the first human to download file onto a tablet. I thought that was pretty cute. And if you missed that one, it's on the Assemblies of God Church across the street. And then there's the ones that drive me nuts. The ones that either they're in churchese, that's the church language, you know, like Chinese or Englishese, churchese, church language that you and I know. Like I saw one time that says SS 1030. What? SS, is that the German Gestapo? What's SS? I mean,
Sunday school.
Yeah, Sunday school. There's a person that knows churchese. But the person driving down the street that doesn't go to church, they read SS 1030 and they say, huh? Okay. Well, some of those kind of drive me nuts. But there's one that I read just recently. I think it's still there. And this herb seems to have a corner in some of these. But it says, the key to salvation is hanging on the cross. Have you seen that one? You've seen that. Yeah. And I see that, and I shake my head. And I want to go in and talk to that pastor. They're using the wrong form of the verb to be. They're saying the key to the cross is hanging on the cross, present tense. And I suggest that the key to salvation was hanging on the cross, past tense. They mean what I'm saying, but they're not saying what I mean. They're saying, if I take them literally, they're saying Jesus is still hanging on the cross. And I said, no way. No how. Easter came and went. Good Friday came and went. And by the end of Good Friday, Jesus was off the cross and in the grave. And by Easter Sunday morning, he was off the cross and out of the grave and alive. And he was still and is still the key to salvation. So the key to salvation is not hanging on the cross, it's alive. And tonight I want to talk about where that key of salvation is. And there's a real clear hint in the title that you see up on the wall. It's called Ascension. Okay. We've been talking since Easter. We talked about resurrection on Easter Sunday morning or Sunday evening. That resurrection was Easter Sunday morning. We didn't talk about it until Sunday evening. And then we've been looking at some of the times when Jesus appeared to the disciples since then. And while it was 40 days from the resurrection to Jesus' ascension, I'm not going to make you wait 40 days to get to the good part. And the ascension is a good part. It's a really good part because it's just part of the whole package. Without any piece of this package, it's worthless. Okay, if Jesus died and went to the grave and stayed there, end of story. He was a good man. He had some good sayings, but nothing special. No different than other philosophers of his day. But that's not what happened. He died, he went to the grave, but he rose again. And when he rose again, he took captivity captive, the scripture says. And he defeated death, hell, and the grave. And we looked at 1 Corinthians 15. Where, O death, is your sting? Where, O grave, is your victory? And Christ arose. But now tonight, we're looking at the ascension. Jesus told his disciples in John 16, and it was a discussion that started in John 14, but in John 16, he said, I'm going away, and it's good for you that I'm going, because go, the Holy Spirit will come. And if I don't go, he can't come. And so Jesus had to ascend to heaven for the Holy Spirit to be poured out on the church. As long as Jesus was here, God was present in the flesh. But when Jesus was gone, God the Holy Spirit could show up and be in every one of us at the same time, all around the world, and not be overwhelmed in any way. Now, if you can get your head around that, you're by faith. You know, if you ever stop and think, okay, there's 6 billion people in the world. If 2 billion of them are Christians and are praying to God at the same time, how is he processing 2 billion requests at once? Why can't you get my head around that? And I don't have to. Takes care of that. That's his realm. Okay? He's not limited by time or space. Greater than me. So the ascension, about it in different places in the scripture. And tonight I'm going to look at it first in Acts chapter 1. And so I'm not going to preach all of these 11 verses, but I want us to get the background of what's going on leading up to the ascension in Acts 1, verse 9. And this is verse 1 of the book of Acts. After his suffering, he brought himself to them, convincing proofs that he was. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And on one occasion, this is talking, Luke is writing the book of Acts, and he's telling how the disciples and them knew eating. It's breakfast, lunch, or supper, I'm guessing. He said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's the next step that comes after the ascension. And so we're not going to talk about baptism in the Holy Spirit being filled with the Holy Spirit another time. But here it's mentioned. And they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom Israel? They still didn't get it. They thought Jesus was a Messiah that was coming to restore Israel to political prominence in the world. With God. That's what Jesus came for. He said to them, it's not for you to know the Father has set his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So, Jesus himself about dates and times, how things work out. Just go tell people. That's what I'm empowering you to do. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes and hid him from their sight. So here we are in a conversation with this man, with Jesus. He's not there. And then he's gone. It's a God thing. It's something God does. That's what we call from earth to heaven. From heaven to earth, a child was born. He sent it back into heaven. They were looking intently at Jesus. Something. You don't see him coming across or down the street. Maybe you do, but you don't recognize him. Something. And again and again, the suddenlies happen. He said, and see what happens when suddenly a magnet shows up. Dressed in white. Why do you stand here looking into the sky? Doesn't that sound familiar? For the living among the. Why do you stand here looking up into the sky? Sounds like kind of the same question. The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. And so we look for the second coming of Christ. And we continue to look one day. And it'll be enough suddenly. It will come without warning. It'll come when no one knows the day or the time or the hour. You know, I always love to hear, you know, on 1st, 2023, Jesus. Because we don't know the day or the hour. And it's crazy how people have tried to make a big deal about predicting the second coming of Christ. And the scripture says, you can't predict it. You can't know. All the times. Now, if you think you know what God knows, you know, well, we know some things God knows. We know that he's good, and that he's kind, and he's a wonderful father. But we don't know when he's going to do something. And so, rather than fret and fuss about that kind of stuff, how much he loves him and how his love by the way we relate to them and by the way we act for each other. So here's the promise, Jesus. Now, have a prophecy of that. You send it on, you receive gifts from people, even values. You, Lord God, from the ascended. And we can read about the ascension in Luke and in the scripture specifically. In Hebrews 4, has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us firmly profess. There's one more point I wanted to make earlier that I didn't. I apologize. So I'm going to back up because I think it's worth it. Scripture says all things work together for good. Love the Lord. So, when bad things happen, God is able to bring good out. And the disciples had a firsthand experience of this when, following Jesus, they heard him say, I'm leaving you. And they said, wait, Lord. No, no, no. You can't be. You don't get it. We're dependent on you. We need you. You're the king that's going to reign on the throne of David forever. You're here with us. Jesus says, no. He says, it's good for you if I go away. For the disciples, this is the thing. But Jesus said, it's good for you that this thing is happening. And many experiences we've had in life that we experienced as bad, that God said, this is good for you. Remember growing up when our parents disciplined us? Remember when they didn't let us have something that we thought we really, 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 really wanted? They knew that we'd get in trouble if we had that. Can't get a driver's license till you can't have a phone at your age. Well, God knew that it was good for the disciples. The Spirit came. And I truly believe that the hardship that we've experienced, God said, I have something good for you. I have something better for you. It's going to make you. Allow God to show us those things, teach us those things. Life becomes so much easier. So much easier. I heard a man who had a number of children killed, or three or four. But he shared his Christian testimony with us at the church I was in Oregon. And he lived in Oregon. He went to counseling. That he felt real good. I do too. So, and I can choose to get bitter. And they had to forget. And it's a process. God's good in store for us. Satan meant it for evil, but God used it for good. Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith of Christ. Let's start with the priest. The role of the priest is to be an intermediary between God and other denominations. There are priests in the church. To the priest, and the priest takes care of it between you and God. And so the role of the priest is to be the intermediary between God and man. Well, the high priest once a year went into the Holy of Holies with all the sins of the nation and was there before the mercy seat and took care of it. So Jesus is a great high priest. Care of us. Find more about that. We do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. Empathize means he experiences them just like we do. He feels what we feel. But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Now, a note here that I think is pertinent or important. It's not a sin to be tempted to sin. A lot of people mistake it, I think, that, oh, I got this temptation, so I'm a horrible person. Well, the scripture just read that I read said Jesus was tempted in every way that we are. So Jesus experienced the same temptations we experience. Yet he did it without sin. So if it's sin to be tempted, then Jesus sinned. But we know that's not true. So it's not the temptation that's the sin. It's what do I do with the temptation? Do I give in to the temptation and act on it? That's sin. And I say, oh, I know who you are. I have nothing to do with you. No sin in that. No shame in that. Okay? Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. So, because Jesus understands, we can come to him boldly, with a tail between our legs like a whipped puppy. We can come and say, Lord, I messed up. I fell into that trap again. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Sure. I still love you. You're still my daughter. You're still my son. You're still mine. Carry my name. I'm ashamed of you. I'm pleased. You came to the right spot. Let me embrace you and love away the hurt. That's our God. That's that love we were singing about. To him, loved by you. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He didn't go into the Holy of Holies in the temple. Okay, that's what he's talking about. A sanctuary made with human hands, that was the temple. It was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself now to appear for us in God's presence. Okay, so when Jesus ascended, he ascended into heaven, into the presence of God. And he's there, just read this, for us. Who appears before a king on behalf of someone else? Well, a high priest, but so does an attorney. One that's there to plead our case. One who is there, we're going to read about it maybe next. Well, let's see. Okay. Let's keep that thought. We'll come back to it. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. So Jesus gave himself as the sacrifice for my sin, for your sin, for our sin, for the sin of the world. And he was successful. Hallelujah. Yeah. He paid the price in full. He didn't just make a deposit. He didn't just pay half of it or a third of it or 90% of it. He paid it in full. A debt we couldn't pay, no matter what we did, was washed away with the blood of the Lamb. That's what happened on the cross. But that's past tense. It's been done. And he doesn't do it again every year like the human priests did, because they use the sacrifice of the blood of bulls and goats. And that doesn't pay the price of sin. It's only Jesus' blood that paid the price of sin. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Don't give up. Keep moving on. Don't give up. It ain't over yet. God's not finished yet with us. Keep moving. If we're waiting for him when he comes, we experience the salvation. Hey, that's worth it. Whatever it takes. Keep digging for that treasure. Keep looking for it's worth taking hold of. Because Jesus lives forever. He has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Did you hear that? Jesus is at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us. Intercede is a type of prayer. We talk about intercessory prayer. And that's where we pray on behalf of someone else. Tonight, we prayed for Jeff's mom, for Barb. We've done that before. That's interceding for someone. They can still pray for themselves, but we want others to pray for us too. And more prayers, more emphasis, more people care. We like to think we get God's ear better. I believe we do. But how about if Jesus himself intercedes for you? That's good stuff. Now, I talked earlier about how, he was there to appear for us in God's presence, okay? For us to intercede, but what I'm thinking of here is as a defense attorney. An attorney stands before a judge on behalf of his client. Jesus, I believe, is standing before the Father on behalf of you and I. He said, Lord, there's Earl. You know, he means well. He messes up. And I've been there. I know it's hard. Yeah, I know. I didn't mess up, but Father, he did. And I love him. And I went and died for him. It really mean a lot to me if he forgave. Now, obviously, those are my words. But it's, I believe, the essence of what's happening is that Jesus is there all the time, pleading our case, interceding for us. Just his very presence before the Lord, before God, says, I paid the price. They're yours because of what I did for them. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Now, in case you wanted to hear it more than once in the scripture, here it is. Yeah, if somebody says something once, that's nice. But if you say it a second time, that means something. And in Jewish law, it was two or three witnesses established truth. One person could get up in a Jewish court and say, yep, I saw her on the traffic light. He deserves the fine. Well, you know, I said, no, it was still yellow when I went through. I shouldn't have a fine. Well, now it's my word against his. Who's the judge going to believe? But if two witnesses came and each of them said that light was red when he entered the intersection, I can say it was yellow when I went through, and the judge is going to say, 2-1, you're done. Okay. So here we got a second testimony from the scripture, and there are more. And then Colossians 3, passage I love. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Whoa. Doesn't say we're ascended. Well, let's finish it. We're raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. If we have become Christians, it means we've died to the old self and we've come alive as a new person in Christ. That's what the scripture teaches salvation is. It's what baptism is all about. You die to the old, come alive to the new. So since we've been raised with Christ, since we have new life in Christ, we should set our hearts, our passions, our desires on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set our minds on things above, not on earthly things. You died and your life is now hidden with Christ. You want to live a victorious Christian life? If you want to live a life that really is beginning to cash in on the treasure that God has for you in his word, set your heart and your mind on Christ Jesus. And the more intent and intense you are in setting your mind and your heart on Christ, the more victorious you will be in your Christian life. Because I promise you that if your passion is set on Christ in the moment that you're experiencing in life, if your whole desire is toward him, if your focus is on worship and praise and adoration of him, and I'm thinking, you know, I just read in the word today how Jesus, you're interceding for me even now. Temptation comes. And when that temptation comes and I'm in that kind of mindset with Christ, it just kind of bounces off and goes away because it can't penetrate. It has nothing for me. And I have no interest in it because my heart and my mind are on Christ. Why? Because he's ascended, because he's at the right hand of the Father. He promises me that's my eternal destination too. That's the treasure that's worth digging for. That's one that's worth selling out to get hold of. Don't give up. It's worth whatever effort it takes. Whatever we have to say no to in this life, it's nothing compared to what's in store for us in the presence of the Father. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for ascending. Thank you, Jesus, for being victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Thank you, Jesus, for paying the price and canceling the debt of sin for all of us, for all time. Father, I pray that the reality, the truth of your word will penetrate our hearts and our minds and change us into the likeness of Christ. I pray that we will so value you and our relationship to you that we'll not let anything come between our time with you and us. Keep coming, Holy Spirit. Keep working on us. Change us and mold us into the likeness of Christ. pray in Jesus' awesome name. Amen. God bless you with an awesome week.